We're going to start, though, and talk about the situation with regards to RTÉ and where things stand now with regards to it. With me on the line to talk about this, we've got Colm Kenny. He's Emeritus Professor at Dublin City University. He was formerly Chair of the Masters in Journalism Programme at DCU in the School of Communications and also a member of the Broadcasting Authority from 2010 to 2015 and the Broadcasting Commission of Ireland previously as well. Colm, good morning to you. Dee Forbes resigning is the latest, I suppose, episode in this saga, and it has turned into one hell of a saga, hasn't it?
It's very unfortunate. Yeah, it is. At a time when we need to be confident that we're getting the best possible news and media, at a time of fake news and mistrust in what's happening across the media, this doesn't, I think, help anybody apart from altogether the implications for RTÉ as a publicly owned company. So it's, you know, it's bad news, and the important thing is that the government act quickly to put things right.
That is the question. I mean, the politicians are asking the questions. They want RTÉ executives in before various Oireachtas committees this week. The resignation of Dee Forbes, an open question from that is, does that mean she's resigned so she won't have to come in, I suppose, is one of the questions.
Well, exactly. That's the first thing that struck me too. I mean, this is one of the problems with the whole Doyle set up for committees and the way in which people seem to be free to ignore them in certain circumstances. RTÉ can't force her if she has resigned, is it, where they can't demand that she goes in. I don't know what her position will be on that. And even if she does go in, now that she's resigned, how free is she to have access to necessary records? And so on. My fear is this, you know, becomes embroiled again in another episode of misgovernment where we have a long-term review set up and politicians who aren't really well briefed on what's going on, turning the sessions next week into a circus where all kinds of irrelevant material is raised. The government has known for a long time there's a problem with RTÉ. We need to put it right, and it has needed to be put right for a long time. And indeed, both in relation to RTÉ's general kind of attitude towards what it thinks it's doing, and also specifically into the question of people who are journalists or presenters getting paid privately, and sometimes indeed on the QT, so that readers and listeners don't know who is paying them and what that might mean in terms of what they're hearing on air at particular times. There's nothing wrong with you know, with a journalist necessarily being paid by you know, an outside company, outside the media organization for which they work, so long as it's transparent. People have a right to know what's going on. And how RTÉ has tolerated a situation where there's kind of a two-tier system of payment going on, beggars belief. But these are not new things, nor is the whole system in which they pay money back to advertisers, which is discussed yesterday in at least one of the Sunday newspapers. These things have required action for a long time. When I was on the broadcasting regulator, I sought to have a register established which would be transparent, and I was defeated by various groups within the sector. So this is not a new problem. You know, we haven't suddenly discovered this, and I just think it's way past time action was taken on it. Mm.
You mentioned, look, it's not a new thing for journalists to get paid by outside organisations, but when it comes to RTÉ, and it comes to taxpayers' money, when it comes to this sort of arrangement, and there are various different intricacies talked about during the Forbes statement this morning about the commercial partner wanting this all to be cost neutral, and then the circumstances of the pandemic, meaning RTÉ, who had to underwrite it, had to step in and pay, I think it was €150,000 to Ryan Tuberty because the commercial partner didn't get the events out of Ryan Tuberty he was signed up to do. Is there not an issue, though, there in terms of direct salary, if we can call it, because that's ultimately what it was, from a large commercial operator being paid to somebody who is ostensibly meant to be paid by the taxpayer and working for the public service broadcaster? A conflict of interest.
Well, there is certainly a specific extra dimension to it. I mean, the whole arrangement seems completely bizarre, how RTÉ would underwrite, whatever it even means. I mean, the private sponsor wasn't committing themselves to that money for more than 1 year, so why would RTÉ underwrite it? These great words, cost neutral, under all the words that are being used at the moment, like to put ordinary people in their place almost, as if they didn't understand the great world of big finance. I mean, you know, give me a break. This was a deal that was pretty straightforward. He was getting extra money and he was getting it, in a sense, under the table. I'm not saying there was anything illegal.
Yes, or undeclared, but it was undeclared.
It was a way of
doing
things that would... It wasn't transparent, yeah, absolutely. And what on earth RT were doing, whatever, I don't know what underwriting even means as a word in that context. What RT were doing was saying, you can change your mind or you can stop paying Tubridy and we'll pay him. And that was a commitment to use public money, whatever you want to call it, whatever term you want to use. It was the license payer's money. RT has always benefited from the fact that in this country, the publicly owned main broadcaster is paid partly by the public through the license fee and partly by commercial interests who pay for advertising and sponsorship. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. They can play one off against the other. If they come under pressure from the government, they can say, oh, they wouldn't stand for that, the commercial investors, you know, and advertisers. And if they come under too much commercial pressure, they can say, well, we can't do that because the government wouldn't allow it. So it's not in itself a bad thing. But they've drifted over the last so many years away from simple advertising deals into all kinds of other commercial relationships that I think are inappropriate for a public service broadcaster. One of the reasons they've done that is because people aren't prepared to pay a decent license fee, a license fee that's large enough to cover what they expect to be delivered for it in this country. And we can all complain about RTE, for instance, but in the end of the day, we do need to invest in various ways in journalism, whether it's public so-called public service journalism or private journalism. We need newspapers, local radio stations and national radio stations and television stations that are providing the kind of analysis that's more crucial than ever. We live in a very complex era. You can't get discussion and analysis about that at any kind of reasonable level unless you're prepared to pay people put people in jobs that are going to be able to do it.
And the question then, Colm, is what now for the broadcasting charge, which was meant to be brought in many years ago in terms of trying to address some of that imbalance? And a question now, the €160 annual fee currently paid by 85% of Irish households in the state gets €200 million a year for funding for RTE. Is there a fear now there'll be some sort of a revolt and people would say, I'm not paying my license fee in the wake of this controversy?
Oh, there is. I mean, it'll be politically exploited and I think it'll be also ideologically exploited. There are people, and you can see this in other countries, there are people who don't want good journalism. There are people who don't want people asking hard questions and they'd like to reduce the amount of good journalism there is. So, you know, I think we have to be on guard against that and separate the two issues. We need to fund in all kinds of ways good journalism, programs like this, you know, newspapers that can employ long-term senior journalists, give young people a full-time career, because you can't get decent analysis, you can't get the stories you need to hear about the world in which we live unless you employ the people who are able to do that.
Yeah.
You can't just have a few very young people on short-term contracts trying to do too many stories, and so there's nobody doing anything very serious. You have to be prepared to pay for it. And so I hope that this is not used either by the opposition simply to have a go at the government and to say, you know, reduce the license fee, a bit of cheap populism. You know, you get what you pay for. If you have an inadequate license fee, you're going to get a reduced RTE service. What we need to do is make sure that RTE service is transparent and professional, and also that the competition is adequately supported in an environment in which RTE is not getting unfair commercial advantages through special deals with advertisers that it shouldn't be doing, and therefore disadvantaging local and national radio stations.
Does it widen the debate that, look, there's plenty of public service broadcasting being done in the independent sector, so that needs to be recognised in any future charge?
Well, that's another possibility, although it may not be the best one. I think what may be better is to make sure RTE has adequate income from the public and that the commercial sector operates perhaps more fairly so that RTE can't do advertising deals.
Yeah. RTE is the biggest beast in the jungle commercially, and it can use that and leverage that against this competition to hoover up advertising. Might be a fairer way to try and limit that in exchange for a higher license fee, perhaps.
Yeah, fairer and probably, you know, economically more sensible, with private money going to the private sector and public money going to the public. In that sense, it's easier to have a fair market and also to monitor exactly how the public money is being spent. But we certainly need action. We don't need yet another committee, yet another political review that goes on forever and the whole thing is forgotten about. We've known what needs to be done. It's very clear there are some certain reforms need to take place immediately. It should never have been let get to this.
How easy is that going to be, though, Colm? One of the phrases I heard in the discussions over the weekend and programmes over the weekend, that everybody involved here has lawyered up, to use the phrase.
Well, they may well have done that, but employing a lawyer doesn't stop careful and efficient action being taken, and there are certain things can be done immediately. You can establish a register of interest, for instance, beginning with RT, but extending also to other broadcasters. I don't think any journalist, any serious journalist, can really sustain an objection to a register of interest. We look for accountability from others, and all it would be an opportunity for the public to see who else pays that journalist.
Yeah,
and even the amount they paid. But even if we knew who was paying them, then you could ask questions. But these are serious questions. I mean, how likely is a journalist who's getting half of a vast sum of money by most standards from a private source to ask hard questions about stories that involve that source?
Yeah.
And if they have agents and so on, I mean, who have private clients, how do we know about the guests on particular programs, how they're picked and what the agendas are? It's very undermining of public trust at a time when, as we know, there are so many other forces at work on the internet and elsewhere that are confusing people. So these things can be done tomorrow. You can establish a register for journalists tomorrow that's public and transparent, and you can make rules about advertising, for instance, and how RTE deals with advertisers. And my understanding is some of the practices that are used here are illegal in the United States. I mean,
yeah,
these are not radical communist initiatives. These are simple things that need to be done that are done in the United States already to protect private business, to ensure business is done on a fair and level playing pitch. There's lots that could be done straight away. You don't need a committee to do them. The government could do quite a lot of things tomorrow. As regards the history of what happened in RTE, I accept people maybe lawyering up and so on. And some of that detail, really, to be honest, it isn't that important ultimately as to who was responsible. It's the objective situation of what happened that's much more important, and that can be dealt with by the minister and the government tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to it, and look, there's lots of RTE journalists who've been pretty excellent in their coverage of this so far. A lot of them, I imagine, are very angry themselves at what they're seeing and what has happened at the top in terms of the salaries, in terms of how this has all been handled. A key question, though, should the idea or the amount of money that's paid to top stars change from this, column? Because it just strikes me from the Forbes statement, at a time when RTE were in financial difficulty, at a time when they're looking to make cost savings, there was this convoluted way, and we're still finding out more details, to try and pay Ryan Tubridy a top salary and top up his salary by 75,000 on top of the 490,000 or so that he's paid. At any point, did the management and RTE not step back and say, hang on, if Ryan Tubridy wants half, if his representatives want more than $500,000, we just step back and say, no, we don't have the money. Here's what we can afford to pay you. And if you don't like it, there's the door and we'll get someone else in to do the job.
Oh, absolutely.
That doesn't seem to have ever, in D4's statement, it doesn't seem to have ever entered any of their heads to say, we're in straitened times, our top stars are earning fabulous amounts of money, really big amounts of money, in the context of the size of the country we're in and the size of the media market we're in. And at no stage, it doesn't seem there was any sort of a discussion to say, look, we need to play a bit of hardball here and say, this is what we can afford. If you don't like it, you can leave. It's up to you.
No, absolutely. And that word hardball, actually, that you've used, the sad thing is that I think RTE has drifted over the last couple of decades into a kind of an ideology that people who are actually public servants think they're playing hardball business, but they're actually using large amounts of public money to subsidise their arrangements, and they're not actually having to take risks like they would do if they were actually in the private sector.
Private sector, yeah.
They're paying too much. Yeah, they've got totally out of proportion, and they should have said no to a lot of people. And if people wanted to try and go elsewhere, well and good. You know, there's not that many people. There were a few RTE stars I could understand. They were terribly nervous to lose, but for the most part, you remember the old cowboy films. There's always a faster gun in the west. You've got to give an opportunity to new talent,
yeah,
coming up. And it's I think it's a symptom of the tired nature of RTE's thinking about what it's doing. Actually, a lot of the time, at a certain level within the organisation, it's a symptom of that they've allowed adrift into these totally disproportionate salaries. For a country our size, we're paying some of the top broadcasters here way more, relatively speaking, than Britain pays its broadcasters. Yeah. And that's ludicrous.
Yeah. Okay, Colm, listen, we're going to leave it. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk us through some of the issues that are at hand this morning on that. That's Colm Kenny there with me on the line, Emeritus Professor. When it comes, Emeritus Professor of Dublin City University, formerly Chair of the Masters Journalism Programme at DCU in the School of Communications, and a member of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland from 2010 to 2015. He tried to get a Register of Interest published, was defeated on that, so it's time for that now, as one of the many things that need to be done in response to what has happened.